Oh, yeah, figured that out. Things are looking up. So as you can tell, we should start in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, we're just so excited to be here, Lord, because we don't know what we don't know. But we know you do. You know exactly what we don't know. And you're taking us somewhere, Lord. You're taking us to a new position in Christ Jesus. You're taking us somewhere that we've never been before. And we just invite you to help us step by step to walk through this transition, that we become more and more the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Better? Awesome. So, pondering this week, I don't do this very often, only when pastor's away. So, I'm pondering. I do a lot of pondering because, you know, you guys don't want to hear what I have to say. What you want to hear is something that the Lord has for you personally. And as I've been pondering this week, it really, I've been fascinated with the idea, the concept that the Holy Spirit communicates with you in a secret place. And so there's things that are being transacted in your spirit that no one else is aware of. No one else can tell. It's not a look on your face or the clothes you wear, or the way you, your hairstyle. I told someone at work how much I was going to enjoy riding home in the convertible with the hair, with the wind in my hair, and then I said, you know, my arm hair. So you can't tell by the way you wear your hair or any other way, except that I know, I have a conviction, I know that you hear from the Holy Spirit. And because I know that you hear from the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to go very deep in the scriptures. The whole message is in Exodus. So if you want to turn to Exodus. Exodus is so cool because it really is a model of our salvation experience. And the longer you spend with the Lord and time in Exodus, you realize, hey, that's me. That's me. I love the part in the beginning, when Moses is kind of feeling like he's called to something bigger than he is, and he jumps out ahead of God, and he realizes, oh no, oh, I'm no good for this at all. There's no way I could do this. This is not me at all. I stink. I quit. I'm gone. And so he blows out of Dodge, and you don't see him again for 40 years. So I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. But I want to tell you that he's not done. He is not done with you. And you know that in the quiet place in your heart where you still feel that excitement about what is God called me to? What am I about? What's my purpose? What is going on here? And maybe you haven't known the Lord for very long and you're just trying to navigate, like, what is going on? And this transition from slave to free son is huge. It's so big. And some of our worship songs talk about him breaking every chain. And you're like, chain? What chain? He's breaking a chain. Cool. That's cool. But what is it that keeps us in the position of slave, keeps us from walking into the freedom of life as a son, keeps us from trusting that quiet voice in the secret place of our heart, keeps us from understanding that's the real deal. That's what it's all about. It's a personal relationship that the Lord came for you personally, and now he's speaking to you personally, and in a way that matters, to figure out where you are in the day. In fact, I'm going to give you some homework today. No cheers or nothing, huh? Yeah, yeah. Do it. Now, see? I'll tell you what, I was the best D student you ever saw in your life. So I understand homework to be something people do, right? Yeah, not me so much, but it's so good. It's so good for you. I want you to read through Exodus and think of it in your terms. Think of it. Just ponder on it. Just start reading without a goal, like, oh, I'm going to read through Exodus. No, just start reading, and when you feel a spark, just kind of stop and think about it. Meditate on it. Allow some time for the Holy Spirit to explain to you what that spark is. I know that Amanda talked to us today about what was going on with her and the way she navigated things in the spirit with, you know, coming on this challenge of leading worship. Like, you know, you think, oh, it must be easy. Look, she seems to be having fun. But it's not like that. You know, anything you do in the spirit is like, intimidating, you know, because you want it empowered from on high and you want it to be successful. And the only way it's going to be successful is if the Lord partners with you. So, you know, you're kind of just like waiting for him to, you know, show up and do his thing. And then you look like you know what you're doing. It's been working for me real well. So, yeah, it's that's what I'm trying to encourage you with, that it's so easy. It's just so easy to connect with the Lord. But the thing that makes it difficult is the mindset of a slave. And the children of Israel had this mindset of being a slave. They had been slaves for 400 years. It's all they knew. That's all they knew was being a slave. And so when Moses came to deliver them, he felt empowered by God. He felt inspired. And he came and you know about the, you may not know, but that's your homework to find out. What all went on with Moses, man? He like jumped in real red hot, and then you know, it kind of all fell on him. It just disintegrated right before his eyes, like, oh. And it was painful. It was emotionally painful. And maybe you know what that's like to jump into this life of Christianity and feel like you fell on your face and you were a complete failure before God. And it's okay. It's okay. The beauty of it is, oh, my God. It's so beautiful because the Lord loves us, and he did everything so that we could come to know him. And so this whole thing, not just I became a Christian, but the whole thing, how in the world did you become a Christian? How did that happen? Did you trip over some other Christian and fall on another Christian and bump heads and became a Christian? Or how did that happen? What happened there? How in the world? I can remember when my parents got saved. I was not happy about it. I did not like it. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to hang around them. Every time I was around them, I felt icky. Like, oh, there's something going on here I'm not okay with. I don't know what this is. But praise God, they prayed for me, you know. And, and some of that nasty that didn't like their good got dealt with. And suddenly I was curious. I became curious about the kingdom. I became curious about what this thing is called Christianity and what in the world they meant by saved. What did they get saved from? And what is saved? Can that be a real thing? Yeah. So it's the Holy Spirit drew me. I had no idea what the Holy Spirit was. I can remember finding out what the Holy Spirit was and being like, what? The Holy Spirit? You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You can know stuff? Why do people not talk about this? What's going on? What is Holy Spirit? And then I find out the second chapter of Acts. It's in the Bible. This is like not new. It's not new. It's been going on forever. But it's so cool and amazing. So I digress. We're in Exodus, and we're finding out what it's like to walk out of slavery into being a free person. And we're realizing that no part of this have we been motivated to do, right? So I didn't decide, hey, I want to be a Christian. I actually decided, hey, I don't want anything to do with being a Christian. And then suddenly it became interesting. I don't know how that happened. I have no idea. I'd love to be able to explain it. I don't know. I know that the Lord loves us, and that's how it happens. The Bible talks about, Pastor shared the scripture about he draws us with gentle cords. He says, oh, Ray likes that one. I do. I love that. I love it because I know what it's like. I was not interested. And he drew me with gentle cords, with bands of love, because I wasn't interested. He knew I wasn't interested. So he's like, oh, come on. Come on. You're going to like this. You're going to enjoy this. It's a big weight off your shoulders. You don't want to carry that. And so he draws us with gentle cords. And now we'll get into the message. All that was just for free to stir you to want to do your homework, okay? No one's going to check your paper, but this is homework you want to do, okay? Open Exodus and begin to read. Something's going to happen in your heart, and you're going to like it. So we're going to skip over some of the fun part. There was a lot that went on for him to get free. There was a lot that went on for me to get free. There was a lot that went on behind the scenes. You know, you've heard about the plagues. I hope you've heard about the plagues. You're going to read about them when you do your homework. But there was a lot of stuff that went on for me to get saved, just like there was a lot of stuff that went on for the children of Israel to get delivered out of the land of Egypt. There was a lot that had to transpire for me to take that step across the sea. There's a lot that had to transpire for you to take that step across the sea. Maybe you've never taken the step across the sea. I'm telling you, salvation is real and it's powerful and you want it. And I don't know where you are in the process. I don't know how many plagues have gone on for you to think, oh, you know what? There's something better for me. So I'm not pushing salvation, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to really like it. I don't know where you are in that walk, but don't wait. You know, you don't have to go through all 10 plagues. Just take the step and say, you know what? I'll pass on those other plagues. But that was all the free stuff. Let's go to Exodus 13, and we're going to start in 17. And this is how cool the Lord is. He loves us and knows us so well. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Hey, the shortcut, we're not taking it. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Does he know you? Yeah, he knows you, and he's got plans for you, and you may not fully realize or appreciate what those plans are, because he may not take you on the shortcut. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. The whole message today is to encourage you wherever you are in your walk from slavery into freedom, that there's still hope. And the Lord has a plan and purpose for you, and it may not make sense in your mind. Why would I want to go the long way, Lord? Come on. I know about the shortcut. I know where that is. I've seen other people take it. What? They take it, they look fine. Come on. I'm telling you, the Lord has a plan for you personally, and I'm encouraging you to connect with the Holy Spirit in your quiet place and spend time. Read Exodus and be encouraged, because the Lord's not done. He's by far not done. And no matter where you feel like you are in your relationship with the Lord, there's more. There's more about understanding how deeply he loves you. And I love this example, and I was so drawn to what he had to say about it. You know, I'm thinking about your future. I'm thinking about what's going to motivate your decision-making process. And I'm making sure that I'm navigating you through that so that you can make a decision that's going to be successful in the future. So many of the decisions that come, you have to make now without knowing what the end is going to be. And the Lord wants you to make those decisions with confidence, because he's speaking to you in your heart. And you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. It feels like I ought to do this thing, but there's so many risks involved, and it's so scary. There's an easier way. But the Lord is showing you through this scripture that he's thought about it. Although this was near, God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So I want you to understand that the Lord is thinking about how you come to decisions, how you think about what your life is coming to and where your life is going and what the call on your life is and how that's going to unfold, and that you're qualified. You're completely qualified, and you're going to do it because the Lord's empowering you to accomplish that thing you feel like in your heart that you're called to do. You're going to watch it unfold, and it may seem to you bigger than you are, and it is, because it's what the Lord has called you to. He's going to equip you to do it. And so even this walk from slavery to freedom is just like the walk from I don't want to know about it to that seems so interesting to me. The Holy Spirit has a way to help us walk off the chains. And as we walk, things fall away that were part of our slave nature, a part of what we understood to be real because we had the lashes on our back to talk about it. I know what it is to be a slave. I know what it is to be trapped. I know what it is to have no future at all and to have to fight for everything I have, to have to fight for the next meal, to have to fight for the sense of who I am, to just have to fight all the time. Everything's a fight. And that's not how a son lives. Someone else has already won the battle, and now I'm a son. And I'm a son because Jesus Christ won the battle for me. And the battle's over. He said, it's finished. I win. I'm a winner. You're a winner. You win. You win. And now it's connecting so that the feeling of that victory, the understanding of how victorious you are, becomes clearer and clearer as you walk this walk, because chains fall off and you come to a fresh understanding of how deeply you're loved. And you think, oh, I understand how deeply I'm loved. And you're loved more than that. And so you walk a little further and some more chains drop away and you figure out, I'm so loved. I'm not only loved, he loves me just like I am right now. He loves me the way I am right now. He loves me. And he knows all about me. And he loves me. And you walk a little further and things change and you develop more. And so the children of Israel walked through the desert and they came to some places that they didn't understand. And let's go to Exodus 13, 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The Lord's leading you in a way that you can relate to. It's that simple. He's doing it. He's leading you. It's not confusing. And it's not the same. I'm not telling you there's a cloud. Go look for the cloud. I'm telling you that. There's fire at night. No, I'm saying that there's a way because of the communication that was opened through the power of Jesus Christ. There's communication that was opened to you so that you understand how to travel with the Lord. And he's making it clear. In Exodus, you're going to find out more and more witness. The point of the message today, three points, but the overall point is that you understand what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And there is a connection between you and the Holy Spirit that's real. And you can rely on it and trust in it. And in Exodus, we're going to find that God blesses those who remain in a covenant relationship with him. Is the first point. And two, God explains in great detail what's acceptable to him. And number three, God delivers those who find themselves in bondage. And so we're going through these steps to understand. And I've been a long time in the first one. So we're walking through these steps and we're finding out that the Lord is with us to lead us. And then I want to go on to Exodus 15. I was encouraged this week not to jump all over the Bible, so we're really going to hang out here in Exodus because it's important, too, to understand that there's so much in here for you. And I'm just hitting the high points because I've given you homework. I don't have to do it all. You can do it yourselves. All right, so where'd we go? 15, 22. We're going to start at 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they were in Mur, they could not drink the waters of Mur, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of the place was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast into the waters were made sweet. And he made a statute and an ordinance to them there, and he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And so we see from that there's so much to meditate on. Just in those few scriptures, that was 15, 22 through 26. So 2 from 6 is 4. There's 4 scriptures that are just jammed, packed with so much. Oh, Lord. So they show up and there's no water. We need water to live. And he gives them a plan, a strategy. Okay, here, throw this tree in the water. Throw a tree in the water and it becomes sweet. Wow. There's all kinds of filtering systems. Reverse osmosis and a little chlorine or there's stuff you can do, but a tree? I let my grandson chew on a stick, and my daughter's like, "What are you doing?" He's a boy. It tastes like dirt. He's not going to do it forever, okay? Let him chew a few times. He'll be cured. Chewing on a stick. It's a guy thing. He's not going to like it for very long. So the Lord has him throw a tree in the water. It becomes sweet. He provides for him. But first, they complain. Oh, Lord, this is so horrible. Oh, I don't know if I can bear this. It's incredibly bad. It's so horrible. We're going to die. Why didn't you just kill us in Egypt? It would have been so much easier to be dead in Egypt. Let's get on to the good part. Enough of that. He goes on to say, listen, walk with me and trust in me. I'm the God, your healer. And none of those plagues that you saw Egypt suffer will you ever suffer. Because of your relationship to me, there's benefits involved. And I don't want you to be bashful about it. I'm telling you, I am your healer. I am your healer. And if you've been trusting the Lord for a long time, they were slaves for 400 years. Trust them a while longer. I know the Lord is your healer. I know He delights in you. I know He loves you. I know He's excited about you and cares about you. Thought about even the way you walk out your life to make sure He navigates you in a way that you don't think, I'm going to turn back. Man, there's a war. This is war. And I'd rather just go back to Egypt and be a slave. The first scripture we looked at. He made sure that He navigated you in a way that gave you the courage to keep facing Him, keep going forward, keep moving, keep trusting. He's the God, your healer. And so the Lord blesses those who remain in covenant relationship with Him. And then I wanted to skip over to 19:5 because I don't think we understand sometimes how the Lord looks at us. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me. Really? A treasure to God? Above all people of all the earth is mine. And if you keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. Do you feel like a treasure to the Lord? Does He look on you and smile? Does He enjoy His treasure? Are some of the chains falling off? You're a treasure. You're a treasure. He treasures you. He treasures the thought of you. He treasures your efforts. He treasures you. And when I read this scripture, I can remember a time when there was a few more chains I carried that I disqualified myself. Man, I don't know if I pull that off all the time. I don't know. I don't know. Do I qualify? If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall. Oh, Dad, where am I? Where am I in the if and then? If I do, and then, and Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ pulled it off. He pulled it off for you so that you can walk in the confidence to know, yes, you are His treasure. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice He made, pulling it all off and still paying the price qualified you to be the treasure. You are the treasure. You are the treasure. And He's leading you to walk in His statutes. He's leading you in that secret place where you guys communicate. He's leading you to walk in those ways. And we are understanding more about it as we watch the children of Israel and the things that they went through. They were concerned because they didn't know how to be free. They didn't know how to trust the Lord. They didn't know what to anticipate because they'd been slaves so long. All they knew was that in Egypt, they were fed once a day, and they were beaten and yelled at all the time. And so they're waiting for their beatings. Is this how it's going to be? No water? Is this how it's going to be? I was more used to the way I was treated when I was a slave. Now I have to trust you. Now I have to trust you, and it doesn't make sense. We could have gone the easy way. It was so easy. It's so easy. Sin is so easy. Isn't sin easy? Sin's easy. But the Lord treasures you right now, a special treasure to me. Individually, just the way he speaks to us individually, this word is for you individually. So, let's turn to verse 20. We'll keep going the same way in Exodus 20. And the Lord spoke all these words, saying, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And he starts the Ten Commandments. I promised you homework. I'm not going to read all the Ten Commandments. There's power in this word. It's so powerful, it's going to speak to you. And when you start doing homework with the Lord, you're going to find out you love it. You might be an excellent D student, the best D student ever. You're going to enjoy homework suddenly. You go, what? This is homework? I'm loving this. I don't remember this being homework. Read this scripture about the Ten Commandments and understand what the Lord is speaking to you through the Ten Commandments. And then, for the final, God delivers those who find themselves in bondage. I want to go to Galatians, and then we'll be closing. We'll be all done. Galatians is the last scripture. Okay, Galatians 4. There it is. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave. What? Now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave, though he is master of all. Now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave, though he is master of all. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child. People, we're maturing in Christ. We're growing up in Christ. And some of us have an idea like, I should have more going on for me than I do. The Lord is patient, and it takes time. They didn't deliver him out of Egypt immediately. Even the first run, they fell on their face. I'm convinced that a lot of our walk is about falling on our face and realizing, ah, I can't do this. And then we begin to rely more on a source that we don't have the power to pull off ourselves. We rely on the Holy Spirit. We begin to rely more heavily on the Lord, and we find ourselves more successful. And so, as we come to communion today, if those serving would like to come up, I'm telling you, the power that we need to pull off our walk with Christ is in the statutes he set up so that we could understand that there's more to this than us just doing it. If it was up to us doing it, we wouldn't need him. We would never have need a sacrifice from the only one that did it well, that did it right, that did it perfect, Jesus Christ. And Jesus instructed us with communion. He said, do this as often as you would in remembrance of me. Oh yeah, I need Jesus to pull this off. Oh yeah, this won't work without him. Oh yeah. He said, this is my body broken for you. Whoa. This is your perfect body that was broken for me. This is your perfection that was broken so that I could walk in it. This is your body that was broken for me, the body of the only Son of God that interacted with the Father effortlessly, that interacted with the Father and understood how to maneuver his life. He wasn't afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Me too. Me too. I used to think I wasn't, and then, you know, you worry about stuff. That's fear. What are you worried about? I'm worried because I'm a slave, and I don't know if I'll be provided for. The son never worried. I love the scripture about Jesus going home to visit in his hometown, and they started taking him to the edge of a cliff. They were going to push him over. So he's in his hometown. Everybody recognizes his face. And they grab him, and they're carrying him off to throw him over the cliff. And he turns around, the Bible says, and walks away and says, it's not my time. I would have been very, very much afraid. But through relationship, through the body of the Son, we come and say, Lord, I need help. Because I know you want me to be fearless. And you said you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. See, that's part of the reason you get homework. That was scripture I just quoted, because it's a part of who I am. Word of God is powerful, and it's real, and it's alive. And when you need it and you speak it out, it comes in power and does what you need it to do. And if you've ever been afraid, you need to find that scripture that says your father didn't give you that. That wasn't something your dad took care of you with. But he gave you something to overcome that fear. Power and love and a sound mind. And so as we partake, we eat this bread together, there's something that's going to transpire that's going to help with your connection with the Holy Spirit. Because this represents Jesus Christ. It represents the sacrifice he made for us. This bread is more than bread to us, because it represents something way more powerful than fiber for our body to just turn into sugar. This is something powerful because it represents our Savior, the one that paid the price so that we could walk in power and that we could have a relationship through the Holy Spirit and understand how we're navigating our life. And so let's pray together. Lord, we're believing this to be more than bread today. We're believing this to be the power of the body of Jesus Christ entering our body, filling us with the power of sonship, and causing chains of slavery to break off in ways we haven't anticipated, in ways we never suspected, because in ways we never recognized before. Lord, we partake together in Jesus' powerful name. Let's eat. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be so much freer to walk as your son. Oh, I want to know your love more completely. I want to be just like your son, not intimidated by circumstances, not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen in the future or what someone else is going to do, and what's going to happen with my job, and what's going to happen with my government, and what's going to happen with my country, and what's going to happen in the world, and what. Lord, we just thank you for putting to death fear in our lives through the power of the body of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us how to navigate, Lord, not the shortcut necessarily, but the road to victory. Wait until everyone's served. And this is grape juice, and it represents the blood of Jesus Christ to us, because we know what it is to be saved. And we know that apart from Jesus Christ's sacrifice, we wouldn't have a hope. We'd still be slaves without hope. But the blood of Jesus Christ fills us with hope. The word says that he took the stripes on his back for our healing, that it was a part of our salvation experience. It was something he did knowing that we needed help. When we fell a long way. And our bodies need power to be okay. And he wants us to be healthy and not so focused on us, so that we can care about others and offer them the same compassion, the same love, the same comfort that we experience through Jesus Christ. His love is so amazing that he would give his very blood so that we could be healed. And I know that personally I've believed for healing, and it took a long time. And I don't know why. I don't understand. The Lord says, do this and do that and you'll be healed. Come and be prayed for and anointed and you'll be healed. Partake of the blood and you're healed. It's a right you have as a child in the kingdom. But I think that some of us, okay, all of us are walking out of slavery into sonship. We're walking out of the chains of the past into the freedom to believe Jesus Christ. And so if you've spent a long time and you're still believing for healing, believe, because you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. Those chains, the Lord's not okay with them. Jesus Christ is not okay with your chains. He's not okay with it. And he cherishes you. You're his treasure. You're his treasure. And whatever's chained to his treasure is not going to last. And so as we partake together, we're partaking in faith that by the power of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, he's going to do and transact in us, in our spirit, in a way that he hasn't before. Because today is a brand new day of faith in Jesus Christ. Let's partake together. Let's stand together. I want to encourage you. Maybe everything I've talked about has been a dream or an expectation that maybe one day I'll give my life to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, today's the day. Don't wait. Don't wait. The fact that you're interested in thinking that someday you would is an evidence that the Lord is pulling you with those bands of love, with those gentle cords, saying, son, daughter, I've got something really, really good for you. And you're going to really enjoy this. And it's not hard and difficult and scary like you think. It's really easy and really wonderful to be loved. And there's going to be people standing up here. And if you feel that pull, like, I want to know what it is to be forgiven. I want to know what it is to be cherished. I want to be the treasure that God wants me to be. There's going to be people here that can pray with you and believe with you and watch salvation come upon you, because it's free and it's for everyone. Don't discount your past. Don't discount what you've endured as a slave. We've all endured pain as slaves. We all took our lashings. We all made decisions to provide for ourselves that we thought, this is going to be something for me. This is going to be a way for me to survive. And today, the Lord's offering you a way to survive that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with him. So let's pray together. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne, all of us alike, needy for you. We want to be sons, all of us, Lord, male and female. There's no male and female in Christ. We all want to be like Jesus Christ. We all want to be like sons that walk in power and confidence and can describe you in beautiful ways and rely on the power that you've given us as our Father to share with others the goodness of the good news of the gospel, the healing power of your love. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we just come before you and invite that transaction to happen in the secret place where you commune with us, Lord. And we invite you to inspire us to open up your word and get in there and do some homework in Exodus. Find out how to get from slave to free man. Lord, that you would come and inspire us in our quiet times. In Jesus' name, amen.